Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. FLism.com also. FList.com. But anyway. We'll do more of Jack, is it? Yeah, I guess I think it's Jack. Anyway, see how it goes. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, make sure my sound is about right. And such. Whoa, I didn't want to do that, whatever I just did. Yeah, I don't know what that was. Anyway, ad or something. Anyway, okay, so I think we left off around here. And so it's just the standard naysayer and, somebody who just really hasn't thought about the mechanics of life and evolution and the fact that it has every appearance of just being a futile, pointless exercise in failure. You know, everybody just gets ground up. It's just a matter of time. You will fail catastrophically. It's just addiction and failure. But anyway, let's play along. Consumption, reproduction, cannibalism, and parasitism, right? C-R-A-P. Yeah, there you go. Addiction and parasitism. But anyway.
Check. Do you think the...
What the hell is that? Me simply choosing not to use my womb or having a couple giggles about people who complain about having children. Whatever.
What I'm saying, by saying that I am not an antinatalist, is that it's wrong for people to choose not to have children. Like,
what? All I'm saying by not being an antinatalist is that it's wrong for people to say it's wrong to choose to have children? I don't know. I'm not going to play it again. What the hell? It's an argument. It's kind of simple. It's imposition, okay, first off. It's overtly risky. So logically, there's good reason for somebody to point out, hey, yeah, I'm sensibly risk averse and say, yeah, imposing risk is really not a nice thing to do. And it's just not sensible. It's not a logical thing to do. And if you're just doing it for selfish reasons, that's not good enough.
Like, do you think that's what I would... Do you think that's my... just as a general, like, do you feel like... Do you get the sense from me that I'm saying if you choose personally not to have kids, you are sort of evil? I know we've met today in the world.
Well, whatever. No, you're just glib and indifferent. And you don't care about any kind of taking the subject seriously and then contemplating, well, what's the real implications? So if I were going to be a pro-lifer... and the plan was to install life on Mars, would you consider the facts and appreciate that, gee, that means I'm going to be imposing an awful lot of harm because all the living things I'm going to create are going to die, and the vast majority of them aren't going to die in some kind of pleasant, quick, easy manner. They're going to die hard. Through some kind of physical damage incurred in some nasty way. A tumor that pushes their eye out of its socket. I mean, something just horrible. And that's the price you're going to pay for your animated surface of Mars. To make the surface of Mars have these little animated beasties running around going, I'm special, I'm special. The price is going to be pretty high. You're going to pay for it. Do you account for that in your thinking? I mean, that's sort of the real question.
Woods, and we may be strangers, but just what do you feel? Do you feel like I'm saying you're evil if you don't want to have kids?
You're evil if you don't want to have kids. No, you're saying nothing. That's what you're saying. You're taking no position on a subject that I would argue is kind of important. So it's like somebody saying, well, I don't rape, but, if other people want to rape, that's their business. Right? Just saying, your attitude doesn't really address the subject at all. And it's like, what's your point? Why even inject yourself into the conversation at all if you're not going to say, well, yeah, no, I get how rape is bad. Maybe we ought to have laws against it. Or say something else like, well, no, it's completely benign. And, yeah, let people do whatever they want to do because it's no harm, no foul. You don't get that there is a potential for there being harm and foul. If you rationally understand what pain and suffering is, yeah, there's real potential for harm. And it's harm being imposed. It's not like inevitable harm. No, it's harm directly related to human behavior.
Oh,
yeah. You're really not trying very hard to get that there is a subject here, and you're just pretending there isn't one.
Feeling today. I'll just say it right now. I think if you personally don't want to have kids, that's okay. I think it's...
Oh, gee, isn't that amazing? So somehow it could be contrived in some rational way that it would be a harm to not having kids? That somehow you're obligated to create human beings for some purpose that can be rationally articulated as necessary? Come on. Too silly.
It's okay to not want to have kids. I did not mean to spark the ire of the anti-natalist movement. I generally agree with the idea that the more pro-natalist side has probably created a lot more societal harm over...
Oh, gee, great. So again, it's more societal harm. Yeah, well, because of the lack of order in terms of how the procreation takes place. So the very fact that it is chaotic and sloppy, that we don't create people and have a place for them often. There's no place for them. There's no job for them. There's no role for them to play. Or in many cases, they're born disabled or broken and nobody wants to pay for that problem. Everybody wants to pretend it's somebody else's fault, but it's not theirs. It's not the pro-lifer's fault. When, yeah, of course it's the pro-lifer's fault. It's the people saying have the kid when you really shouldn't. The people against abortion, all of those people are to blame.
For the last few millennia, in the sense of people being pressured to have children, pressured into birth and parenthood, especially in times where mortality rates were much higher and the rights of parents were...
So why are you saying the rights of parents when it was the rights of women? Yeah, there weren't any men being forced into having kids. Oh, you know, so come on. And so, yes, the fact that we lived in societies that were, you know, run by men and men owned women as property and they saw advantage into increasing their property value by creating children is pretty disgusting. You know, so, yeah, the history really sucks. But we're really not talking about the past. We're talking about the present and what should people be doing now. And obviously, I think anyone who can speak words should be telling people, well, if you're thinking about having a kid, just make sure you think about it a lot. Okay, because there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to consider. It's one hell of a change you're making to the world. And you ought to appreciate that all those changes might not be good ones.
Are much more limited. Yeah, there's been a lot of harm done, and I understand that anti-natalism as a movement is largely predicated on a response to that. And that's...
It's predicated on this, on not just the past, but on the future. And on the fact that we do have the power to do something about it. We're not powerless. So why pretend that this isn't a real subject, that the real subject isn't really just a matter of people putting their own personal interests in check and recognizing that, yes, they really don't have any right to impose, that if they're going to interact in the world, they ought to minimize their capacity to make it worse. And all of those things, you know, can lead to this negative opinion of sloppy procreation.
Fair enough, but look, both sides are bad. At the end of the...
Yeah, okay. both sides are bad. I would argue that fence-sitting, douchebag, glib pieces of crap like you, again, are the people they ought to shoot first in a war. I mean, assholes who can't figure out there's a side to be on are so fucking dim, okay, and retarded that, yeah, they ought to be the first target. They are the biggest pile of useless turd. If you can't even figure out there is a subject, then you're really fucking stupid. All right? Suffering is a real thing. You're basically saying, yeah, it's okay if you make some. And it's okay if you impose it, too. I don't really care. It's okay to impose. Now, you already stated that you can see how that's fundamentally unethical. That's not what you're saying. Ugh. God, I hate you. You glibby pieces of barf.
Today, the middle's always the way to go.
Oh, fuck. Compromise, yes, it's just great. Don't go left, don't go right, don't go anywhere but right into the brick wall. Jesus.
So we're going to have to find the middle position here between being in favor of forced childbirth and...
That's not even a subject, frankly. So, I mean, there's no realistic capacity for... There's no indication that any segment of the human race is coming to the intelligent realization that we should force procreation. So it's not a movement, it's not something happening. Where I can argue that statistically, there's a huge progression in the support for the idea of restraint when it comes to producing children. There's all kinds of movements, population control movements, attitudes, memes generated in that direction of more responsible procreation. Okay, lots of people think, you know, poor people shouldn't just, you know, fart out babies and collect welfare checks. You know, there's lots of people who are quite capable of voicing opinions about how people should do this pet ownership stuff responsibly.
Wanting to end life itself. I guess it's...
Okay, so, and again, that is the purest or highest form of the argument, is what do you do about this problem? Okay, so I would argue that yeah, you can make the argument that, well, the fact is you don't have consent, and if you take being an imposer seriously, you have to conclude that that's the only available option, is to stop the imposition. Stop the mechanisms that are imposing without consent, whether they're human mechanisms or natural mechanisms. Because that's the only right, that's the only way to be a hero here. It's the only way to come to the rescue. You can't cure this disease any other way than eradicating the disease.
Important to be able to create some kind of distinction between like a pro-life person and like a pro-life person. I don't think that...
I don't know what that means, but whatever. Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, we can all play with the words, and I enjoy playing with them to some extent and calling people pro-lifers. Who aren't anti-abortion, but who are, yes, they're for forcing the kid to live a life they didn't choose to live, or forcing the person to live under conditions that are unsatisfactory. And they are clearly accepting nature's lottery, where, you know, 10,000 baby turtles get pecked to death, so you can have one turtle float around the water or eating some jellyfish. It's not good numbers.
It would be good for life as a concept to no longer exist. Inherent.
Yeah, well, good is the wrong word to use. I mean, obviously, what it would be is less bad. So, I mean, you know. But yeah, that's what goods are unbads. So, yes, there's no great victory in, like, ending a negative, you know. I mean, it just doesn't look like a great heroic act. But yeah, preventing the broken leg is just as valuable as growing the third eye or something, you know. I mean, it's not like you can't add anything to this mixture in terms of a positive. All you can do is eliminate the negatives. And so it's like janitor work. It's kind of unseen, okay? But it's the most important part, in a way, is keeping it from, you know, it's like the roof over your house. You know, it seems like a nothing thing, but it's a really important thing that you have a roof over your house.
Life is suffering, and yeah, you can't consent to that. You're just sort of born, and then the assumption is that through living...
through living, that you learn to accept this slop that you're in and do the best you can with the sloppy position you're put in. And yeah, everybody acclimates to that game because the only other game is the exit door, and that is on fire, you know, and it looks unpleasant. So, yeah, it's not a great circumstance.
You're going to ultimately end up being okay with the conditions that you were born into. And I get how...
Okay, so again, this being okay, there's lots of people aren't okay with it. They're voicing their opinion that I don't appreciate being imposed on. I don't appreciate you supporting the people who did the imposition. No, it shouldn't be a free crime. So that's the argument, is stop making it a free crime. Stop subsidizing these people. Stop saying it's all okay, it's your choice. Stop saying this crap, okay, that facilitates them continuing to perpetrate the crime, which is a real crime to the people who stand up and say, well, fuck acclimating and fuck accepting. I'm going to point out quite clearly, I'm offended that you dumbasses would expect me to be born into the shit you've created as a civilization and say thank you. Fuck you. Not thank you. Fuck you. I mean, you're just so goddamn rude. So quit defending the rudeness.
Oh, sort of in the abstract, that is something that seems inherently cruel. I guess what I think...
Oh, there you go. So it's inherently cruel, but I'm just going to glib over that. Why are you glibbing over that? It's a huge thing. Cruel. Cruel is a really important thing. You find cruel somewhere, you should take note and say, gee, we have to fix cruel. That's like a hole in your ocean liner or something. That's, yeah, you don't just say, oh, there's a giant hole in the boat. So what?
About is the nature of the relationship between parents and children to begin with. The fact...
Yeah, the whole thing is sick and demented. Yeah, it's all kind of creepy, frankly. What the fuck is all this little googie gaga crapola from a male's perspective? I don't get it, frankly.
That kids don't really...
I mean, I can't explain why women are nuts, but I am a male, and I'm saying to you quite clearly, if you can't fuck it, what use is it? Fuck this. What do I need one for? What do I do with it? Except watch my money disappear.
Consent to many things that parents do on a regular basis. A babe.
Creepy, creepy, creepy. There's lots of things people do on a regular basis, you know, that are really creepy. You know, really creepy.
B doesn't necessarily consent to you wiping its butt, but you do it anyway because you think it's in its best interest.
Right, and are you allowed to do that? Is that a rational thing? Oh, it's in its best interest for me to be its mommy. It is? What evidence do you have of that? So, yeah, you can make arguments about how it's in its best interest to give it vitamins or do some other imposition, but we're not talking about vitamins and little stuff. We're talking about big stuff. Imposing life, imposing cancer, imposing appendicitis, imposing all the little bullshit that might go on in that life, the little high school traumas and grammar school thises and all that other crap that's going to get piled on, and, you know, this random lucky, you're good-looking, you're not good-looking, you know, whatever. Micropenis syndrome, all kinds of shit you're being subjected to. So you want to glibly just say that's all little, you know, meaningless. Well, it's not meaningless. And they don't have any evidence they're going to provide their child with any immunity to the worst case scenario. They have no evidence they have little chance of hitting the lottery and winning. You know, they're just buying lottery tickets with their kid's blood. it's gross behavior. It's using food stamps to buy lottery tickets. It's not behavior you should reward or give any concession to. You should call it what it is. Disgusting behavior. Take a pause. All right. So I was just trying to think, how do you reason with these people? So I was thinking of the movie, being John Malkovich, this whole idea of being sentenced to living inside someone else's life. And just how, I'd almost like, to be able to force this guy to live inside somebody else's life. Some kid born retarded, profoundly retarded, with a bunch of defects. And he has to have, 10 or 12 or 15 surgeries to die at 18. Right, through all those experiences, he can't articulate how much pain he is in. He can't explain. He can't say anything. And you just have to guess what's in his interest and what's going to make him feel better and all this kind of crap. You should live that life over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. If you're going to be some fence-sitting, glib motherfucker, I can only say personally, I wish there was some advocate I could appeal to, some judge of justice, and say, give this asshole the justice he deserves. Sentence him to the fucking random crapola he's defending. Okay, let him live the worst case scenario over and over and over again if he thinks it's nothing we need be concerned about. Fuck. So yeah, it makes me damn angry. I mean, angry enough to say, God damn it, I wish I could sentence you to it. I wish I could force you to eat the vomit, okay, that you're creating.
It's pretty sinister when you think about it. Oh, it's in the best interests of the baby for you to wipe their bum? Oh, you think you know? You think you know what...
So he's comparing wiping a baby's butt, okay, which, frankly, you just have to wash its butt, but whatever. To the decision you'll make whether he should be circumcised or all the other decisions you'll make that will decide his destiny in one way or another. Making some decision about some surgery as a child, maybe he has some defect in the eyes and you're going to make a decision that's going to affect the kid for the rest of their life. They could end up blind. All these decisions should be your decisions, okay? And you should feel fine about making these decisions. And especially when a lot of people make these decisions, especially to have kids in the first place, based on a completely unbalanced perception of the economics. And they're just really saying, this is my Social Security policy. They're not doing anything admirable or in its interest. All they're really thinking about is what's in it for me. Fuck you, defending their crappy, insufficient, superficial thought process. They're not thinking about any of this crap when they make the decision. They're not taking responsibility for the profound decision they're making. You're just being a glib asshole and just saying, oh, you raped your woman, you were raped, get over it. Fuck you.
That baby's thinking. You think you know what that baby is thinking just because you gave birth to them?
Wow.
Dressing up in clothes. Many babies probably don't want to wear clothes, but they have to.
So this is stub toe trivial crap. So you're going to talk about real pain in the world by saying, well, you're getting stub toe. Oh, it's all panic. No, that isn't the subject.
Because it seems to be the right thing.
Let's see, I have become an enemy of the nudist community. Whatever.
And on the whole, it seems like people prefer being alive than not.
Whatever, most people believe in God and angels. So again, take away all that crap, right? So take all the religious people and oblige them to be rational and accept that there will not be any heaven. There won't be any afterlife. There won't be any reward. There's just going to be what happened in this life, period, the end. Okay? And then get their opinion. Okay, so take away their fantasies regarding how this thing all ends and see how many of them are all that enthusiastic then. All right, and then ask the question, frankly, after they've died, okay? Because you don't ask the after they've gone through the horrors of having their pieces cut off and different shit to eke out a bare few days of extra life. You know, ask them after they've written the whole book. I mean, cook this stupid pie before you talk about how delicious it is.
In general.
It seems that in general, people consider life to be more good than bad.
So blah, 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 blah. Not the subject. Okay, it doesn't mean anything. Public opinion polls. It's really just a conversation about the logic and the reasoning. And can it survive as being founded on any kind of rational judgment that isn't polluted by nonsense? Some kind of denial of the actual facts. Again, if people have to deal with the actual facts, the actual attrition numbers, you know, how many failures there are for successes. So if we show them all the pictures of all the kids paralyzed by a football game. Oh, this kid was paralyzed. Yeah, this kid's in a wheelchair. 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 And then show them the Super Bowl winners. And then just ask the question. Do we really need this? Is this worth this? And this? And this? And this? And this? Is this worth it? And then have them answer the question. But no, you're going to say, oh yeah, we get the whole idea because they're pro-stoic, I'm a winner, and I'm fighting, and I'm a survivor, and that, you know, you just generate their ego. Now, are you strong enough to live your whole life through? You know, are you a suicide coward? You know, yeah, it's all how you ask the question. So yeah, phrase the question honestly. How many kids are you willing to give cancer to so you can see your grandchildren? Play Let's Fart on the Old Man. So pathetic. It's so funny, right? Because yeah, the old farts want to see the grandkids, and the grandkids are like, what the fuck are those old wrinkled things? What the hell are they? Why are they alive? What the fuck are they living for? To sit around and fart in their old fucking rocking chairs? Oh, I'm sure as fuck gonna hope I get run over in traffic before I get that old. Yeah, you know, it's so funny. Well, I don't know why I hit the pause button, but I did. Yeah, interesting.
Based on the assumption that that's how we'll feel in the end, we make decisions that might...
Right. Based on an assumption that's totally insane and doesn't have any connection to reality. I'm going to feel really good about things after I've died of cancer. No, you're unlikely to feel good about them then. That's the part that won't be any fun. That's like the part where you go to Disneyland, you know, and then you're coming out of the park and you realize somebody stole your car. You know, and the headache has just begun.
Don't necessarily be consented to in that moment. I do see how the ethical logic behind that.
All right, so you can say words like ethical and logic. Now let's see if you can do any logic applied to ethics.
Sounds a bit questionable. But it's in these times where I feel like we kind of have to admit that language itself is limited.
Oh, it's not that limited. I mean, it really isn't. All you have to do is understand like words like value, efficiency, you know, good, bad, you know, how much profit, loss, productive, you know, unproductive. It's not, we have plenty of words.
Especially when we're talking in terms
of useful, necessary. You know, we have lots of words.
In terms of consent. The fact
is... Oh, yeah, that one's really easy, too. Not a very difficult concept. How's the vocabulary come short? It doesn't come short in any way. It's a good thing to have, okay? If you're going to impose on something, it's very good to have their consent to be imposed upon. And if every circumstance was ideally, you always want it. And in anything serious, you have to have it. And frankly, imposing life is serious. So you're in big trouble.
It is whether or not you can find the right words to convey it. Life has a desire to continue.
All right, well, whatever that is, that's just baby talk. Life has a desire to continue. We're human beings, okay? If we were Tyrannosauruses and we had acquired, the ability to communicate, vocabulary, and intelligence, and we could write books and do all of this kind of stuff, we could still look at ourselves as Tyrannosauruses and laugh and just say, what the fuck is this little arm shit doing? And we could understand how, we could make our food look like other animals and chase it. We could make our food look like, we could do all kinds of things to accommodate the fact that we weren't built to be nice creatures. And we could make ourselves into nice creatures. So there's no inability for us not to be monsters. Human beings don't have to be cavemen. They don't have to be chauvinistic. They don't have to be lots of things because they have a brain. So this is just baby talk. Life wants to. Life does. No. It has nothing to do with it. We're not dinosaurs.
It's just a kind of practical issue that you can't consent to being born prior to being born.
Right, and it's something you can appreciate. You can personally appreciate. I don't want Dr. Frankenstein thinking it's in my best interest to stick my brain in his monster. That's kind of rude of him. Go find a brain he asked ahead of time. Do you want to be Frankenstein? And then put that brain in Frankenstein. But yeah, I don't want to be your baby, okay? I don't want you to be my daddy. I don't want any of that fucking shit to happen to me again. Okay, where a random asshole says, I'm going to force you to be my property, okay, and to navigate a game based on my rules. And it's going to take you maybe 30 years of living before you can figure out how to psychologically and materialistically escape the fate I've destined you to.
Really more so indicates that we can't just straightforwardly use that kind of language and that kind of philosophy when we're talking about this issue specifically. It's too complicated.
Why'd you even bring it up? Obviously, that would be baby talk. To talk about us being still reptiles would be retarded. We're not being driven by any instinct. There's no maternal instinct in the first place. There's instincts to have sex. Come on, don't be fooling yourselves. Okay, the male cats here chasing the bitches. They're not chasing the bitches going, I want to make babies. So get real. Okay, the agenda of procreation is a specific act that leads to a specific fate for your child and for yourself if you're going to take any responsibility for what you're doing. And the question is, what, you're saying people are too stupid? They can't sit there and figure out that that's what's really going on. That's the real game. And they have to have a plan. They can't just say, I'm too stupid to figure out that I'm making a decision. Of course you're making a decision if you allow yourself to become pregnant.
Okay, to even have think about. It's one of those things that's just too complicated to even talk about. So just stop. I drove down to Mississippi.
I don't even know what that fucking means. It just, You're not very clear about what the fuck you're actually saying. You're just wishing and washing. You're just sitting here playing around like the ideas are... You're making something very simple complicated by just playing word games.
For Thanksgiving, and I forgot to bring any of my shaving stuff, so that's why this is happening.
And it's only going to get worse because we're still here until New Year's, and I'm not going to get any more shaving stuff unless I get a shaving sponsorship.
Ah, brother. So he's got to do a solicitation for a commercial in the video. I don't know. I thought more of his videos had him with this whatever look.
I understand that most antinatalists still don't really believe in forcibly stopping people from having children. It's more of a...
Well, again, what does that even mean, forcing? So if we take away the subsidies, that's already, for most of them, forcing. And if we tell welfare whores, okay, something like, well, if you do it once, it's okay, but if you do it a second time, we're going to sterilize you. Because, yeah, we're not going to keep paying for your babies, okay? It's expensive, all right? You know, it costs a lot of money. And especially if we're going to raise the kid to be a fucking criminal, okay, then it's going to cost us even more money. Preposterous amounts of money. So, yeah, fuck that. You parasite. We ought to just call them what they are. Fucking parasites.
Moral framework.
I mean, they're not by accident being a disaster. They're willfully saying, I have a right to, you know, splash afterbirth all over your civilization. You know, to soil the whole fucking civilization with my bad behavior.
But really, like, I think that what you're doing is wrong for these reasons, rather than saying, like, I think that policy should be put in place to stop you from having kids.
Yeah, well, whatever. I obviously advocate for the fact that it's a rape, okay? I take it seriously. It's not just a minor, I just rubbed her butt a little bit. And, I mean, this isn't some little crime. It's a major crime, this indifference and this glibness and this arrogant, obnoxious notion that they have control over the experiment and they're allowed to be Dr. Frankenstein's. Fuck that. They're not. So, yeah, it needs to be prevented. But the truth is, pragmatically, that the easiest way to prevent it is to quit subsidizing it. So if people really had to pay for their decision, if they had to go to the workhouse to pay for people to properly raise their illegitimate children, all right, if we took the children away and put them in a proper environment and then forced the bad decision makers to pay the price. Okay, go smash rocks, you know, until you've given society enough currency to pay to properly raise your monster.
So why did I call antinatalists eco-fascists?
Yeah, well, whatever that even means. I mean, it's just such a silly little crap term. You know, feminazi. I mean, this is the rhetoric of people who don't have an argument. This tacky little name-calling.
They finally found the cache. I won't tell you where it is, because that would spoil the fun. But there's a cache here in Shelby Farms. Wanna check it out?
Oh, I need to actually explain what an eco-fascist is.
I'd rather you didn't. I mean, I get the idea. Okay, you could call them eco-Nazis. Whatever.
Can you explain what?
Eco-
Weeks before my wedding, I'd had a stroke. Lucky for me, I was rushed to New York.
Not lucky for you. Yeah, you would have been lucky if nobody woke you up. That would have been your lucky day. Pathetic crap. All right, I'll pause it. So the guy in the commercial says, there's a difference between losing it all and having it all. And, you know, he's dancing in some tacky club. Oh, yeah, that's having it all, alrighty. Yes, sirree.
So essentially people who use the language of environmentalism as a way to push a sort of strict authoritarian or
All right, so I don't know what that even means. Like, he's almost trying to argue that they're insincere. No, they're just fanatics. Okay, they have this perception, this Gaia nonsense in their head somehow that, you know, all the Native Americans just sat around and sang songs and everything was just wonderful when everybody was just going, ooh, kumbaya, blah, blah, blah. You know, they were dancing around the fire. And no, they didn't go on freaking, mass murdering raids, and they didn't do all this other stuff that's the real truth. So, yeah, they're living a little fable, a little fake lie. So they're just as fascist as the religious douchebags who, you know, want to save you, you know.
Democratic states. There's a lot of good videos out there talking about it as a phenomenon.
It weighs down our society and forces it to mass produce more products and destroy nature to make way for new living areas, not to mention the increase in waste.
Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, these are real facts. I mean, there is a certain fact to the fact that the water gets polluted, different things happen, and, you know, it'd be so much more efficient if you didn't pollute it in the first place, blah, 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 blah. Cleaning up takes more energy than making the mess. So it's a pretty clear argument that, yeah, let's see if we can avoid making a mess of the environment, then we don't have to spend all that money to clean it up.
Such a population boost has brought...
So we've definitely been seeing more and more as environmental rhetoric has become very popular. At a time when many corporations have also decided that green energy is a great marketing...
Oh, that's... Yeah, right, exactly. It's a marketing ploy, okay? So there is no green energy. It's all a big lie. You know, all of a sudden now, you know, forestry, but, you know, cutting trees down and burning them is somehow... sustainable energy, you know, when no, it's really dirty.
Pitch, while continuing to contribute most of the environmental damage. And most antinatalists are also very anti-corporate. So I understand that they're not necessarily believes the automatic...
most antinatalists. No, most people with an IQ above like 85 are anti-corporate. They recognize that, yes, the motivations of the greedy scoundrels are not the best interest of human beings. They just want to sell product and make money, and they're going to seduce people, you know, into dependency on their junky, shitty, crappy product.
Automatically going to just link together. Because of this often unspoken difference of opinion within the antinatalist umbrella, you often get this sort of Mott and Bailey thing whenever you try to...
Oh, there's that word again. I never even heard this phrase, and now I've heard it twice in the same month. Mott and Bailey thing. So this is the new Dunning-Kruger thing. It's these stupid little jargony phrases to try to sit there and dismiss an argument or dismiss a point of view. It's just... ugh. It's pathetic. Look up the word pathetic. This is pathetic. Pathetic and pathetic-er. There. We'll use two words and then you'll get it, right? It's the pathetic and pathetic-er syndrome.
Disagree with them about anything. A Mott and Bailey is a rhetorical device. I know about rhetorical devices because I am a very smart person. And if you say otherwise, that's an ad hominem and a straw man and
Yeah, so why are you bringing this up? Oh, that you can play all kinds of word games to evade the actual subject. That's all you did was invite another word game. So you called people eco-fascists, and then you decided to just barely characterize them, and then jump into a conversation about name-calling. So that makes some sense. You name call and then you talk about how name calling is just a silly meme.
Roundabout argument. A little bit of a toad in the hole argument that you're making there. A little bit of a tallywhacker argument there. A little bit of a suspicious twanger. A suspicious prong argument. The idea of the Mott and Bailey is that you have a more extreme position that you sort of put out there, but then...
Yeah, well, so then why don't we have something for the fake news syndrome, where you pretend to be one of them and then say a bunch of outrageous stuff, like, you know, the Jews did this and the Jews did that, you know, you say crazy crap and you pretend to be Obama's best friend. And so now you've taken your anti-Semitism and smeared it on Obama or somebody else, yeah. What do you call that? Mort and Joe? What's the phrase for the fake newsers?
When you need to defend
it. Oh, fake newser. I guess that's it. Yeah, we'll just call them fake newsers.
You resort to a much more moderate position. And with antinatalism, what I've been seeing is that when they're arguing about it, they'll say, oh, so it's extreme or harmful just for me to think that you should personally not maybe have as many children and there should not be as many children suffering. It's taken to be a very...
The fact is, though, is that the subject, it's like curing disease, right? The real question is, somebody can say, look, people get malaria in the world. Now, you could sit there and just holding some packages of netting, and you say, well, you know, we could give these people some netting if, you know, we just donate some money and we'll give them nets. And then somebody could bring up the unpleasant subject of, well, if you use the money to cure or satisfy the present people suffering, you can't use it to invest in the cure. And so... now you have a trolley question. Now all of a sudden it's a real subject, you know, where you're going to you know, this isn't any fun anymore, because the answer is not going to be as simple as, oh yeah, I can afford a few bucks. Yeah, go give some nets to people and stop them from getting malaria. Great idea. Well, maybe it's not a great idea, because you need to cure malaria, not just treat symptoms, okay? We don't need to invest in Band-Aids. We need to invest in the vaccine, so to speak.
Very sort of soft and personal position. And yet, if you actually go onto their community, what you'll constantly find is posts about how people that live in poverty shouldn't have...
Well, why do people have to be part of a community to have an opinion? It never was that way. Like, there used to be people against deficit spending, and it wasn't called the people against deficit spending community. It wasn't a community somewhere, you know. It was just people for different reasons and from different positions who understood that, yeah, I know what balancing a checkbook is, and I know what a credit card is, and I know I can't use in one credit card to balance the debt on another, you know, to pay my interest payments on another credit card, that all of that is just absolute bullshit and you shouldn't do it. You don't call them a community. All right, take a break. All right, so that was a good place he stopped. Why do people living in extreme poverty have kids? Because they're stupid. That's why they're in extreme poverty in the first place, is they can't run their own lives. And yes, their reproductive organs still work, but unfortunately their brain doesn't. So they can't moderate their little winkies in their uteruses, and they can't control the biological functions. All right, so yeah, a lot of them has sort of a proven fact. You know, in some communities, they prove they can't even control where they urinate and defecate. You know, they're so dysfunctional. They're so rude. They'll accept a life where they're shitting where people have to walk, and they don't care.
Kids. Posts about how disabled people shouldn't have kids.
Yeah, well, that's a perfectly rational argument. If you know you have some genetic defects, you know, if you have a micropenis and your granddaddy had a micropenis, then yeah, maybe you give it up. You know, go take one for the cause, you know. You know, spare the next victim. Okay, those people should be neutered or spayed or whatever called. I'm just saying it's a real subject, okay, that obviously you want to do whatever you can to prevent these tragedies, all right? What you can do, you know, you want to prevent car accidents. Well, sometimes you have to put airbags in the car. Sometimes seat belts are enough. You know, some people don't ever drive 80 miles an hour, so they don't get into too much trouble in the first place. But yeah, apparently you have to put these things in. You have to create these safety devices because people are such slobs. They fall asleep when they're driving. They do all kinds of shit. They drive into other people's houses. So, yeah, you have to figure out some sort of solution. And it doesn't have to be draconian, but it's worth talking about that this is really bad behavior. Okay, if you're poor and dysfunctional, having children really shouldn't be on the table as something you do, okay, by anything other than tragic accident. It shouldn't be something you make routinely possible. It shouldn't be something you recklessly allow to have happen. This isn't, you know, it's as simple as, you know, throwing pennies in the gear works. You know, it's like just having the sensibility to know that, you know, if you're at the Hoover Dam or something and there's a big turbine, you know, you don't sit there and try to throw something in there to just ruin it. You know, it's like opening the door in the airplane or something, you know, just duh. No, you don't do that, retard.
Aiming poor people and disabled people for...
It's a real... I'm just saying, there's no faster way to disaster, okay, than poverty. Poverty doesn't make good babies. It doesn't make good Frankensteins. You want to create a huge disproportional probability of a negative outcome, then this is the road to it. Disability and poverty. That's a great way to create dysfunction and pain and suffering. I wanted to write my dissertation on this. Yes, it's an, you know, I'm just saying, yes, it's a dangerous subject because, it, you know, people will claim you're doing something Nazi-esque or you're encouraging eugenics or some kind of crap like that, when no, all you're doing is something completely rational, which is, let's just minimize the losses. And some of the losses are easy to minimize. Very little has to be sacrificed for a very large gain. So, continuing.
Having kids. Suddenly that more
So I have to read all of this little stuff. When I was a kid, I watched a lot of those videos of people living in countries where poverty is a very common thing, and always felt bad for these people. But now I think about in these families barely have anything to eat. So again, you're assuming they even have a family. I mean, so many of these, there's, you know, you go to Africa, there's a bunch of kids orphaned. You know, and they sit on the side of the road and wait for the UN truck to come by and throw a bag of rice at them. And that's their fucking life. So, you know, this bullshit that, oh, you know, everything's just fine in the poor houses. No, it isn't just fine.
The philosophical position is sort of replaced by this environmental take. This, wow, this is creating such harm. All of this waste that's being created.
Well, obviously there's a connection between the reckless and excessive population. And we're especially seeing it, right? All the imported labor, the destruction of wage bases, the exploitation that takes place because of the excesses in labor. All kinds of very damaging social circumstances are created by this. And then there's the obvious pollution of the environment with all of our waste.
This environmental damage. And you sort of realize that, that we've gone from sort of a perspective to something that if anyone were to ever try to turn it into something actionable, would be ecofascism.
Well, whatever. You can call it ecofascism, you can call it eugenics, you can call it all kinds of little nasty names, and all that's underlying it is a rational response to a bad circumstance. So again, what would you do? All right, there's some woman, okay, and she's carrying a disease that she doesn't catch, but she's a carrier of it, and she likes being a cook. And so she keeps getting jobs with families, and every family she gets a job with as a cook, she kills. But she loves cooking, and she keeps doing it, even though she kills every family she works for. Are you an eco-fascist because you say, stop doing that? You know, if you're not going to stop on your own, then yeah, we're going to stop you, because this is cruel. Okay, at least tell the people you're going to work for that you have killed families before. Let them know that you're a carrier of this disease.
You essentially start from, is it my right to have kids? Which is something that I guess arguments can always be made for one way or the other.
So again, they're not one way or the other. The only argument there is for it is that nature says so or God says so. But there's no rational response that says, because I can hold a gun, I have a right to shoot people. I mean, there's no reasoning connecting this act of procreating, okay, in any kind of intelligent conversation. It's an action, okay, that isn't necessary, and you have to defend it. Just like I would have to defend raping a woman. Okay, I can physically do it. I can naturally do it even. You could argue that nature was doing that for a long time. You could argue that the whole structure, okay, of the, you know, of the torpedo and the whatever, torpedo polisher is just very natural. You know, so let's not, what game are you playing? Okay, that I have some right from nature to rape. No, I don't. So it's just bullshit. Okay, we're not cave people. We don't have to have a cave person conversation where you're going to talk about the bear dog, God says I have a right. There's no God of procreation.
The argument sort of starts to become, who has the right to have kids? And it comes...
Now, the conversation is, can human beings be a little bit intelligent? Can they get over their using nature as an excuse or using God as an excuse? And they can actually make an argument defending what they're doing as being ethical or right are constructive or productive. Can they actually explain how it's the right thing to do in the real world? Not the fake world they imagine to exist, but in the real world, does it actually do good to make babies?
Comes out of this antinatalism as environmentalism side of things. Because when you do start to think of...
So, I mean, who cares about this conversation, right? I mean, from my perspective, this is a stupid conversation because nature's the dirtiest, stinkiest, worst whore there is. So I mean, it's Plague Mary. There's nothing about nature to admire or preserve in terms of any of its ethics or its functionality. It's a bloodbath.
Of cutting populations in terms of utility, in terms of waste. When you essentially try to take this philosophical...
I don't know. I can't even imagine he would spend all this time jump cutting this video. I mean, just all this effort to sit there and engineer sentence by sentence by, all these cuts. Ugh.
Position and turn it into anything remotely actionable. Suddenly you're...
Okay, so anything actionable. So, and again, action is in what form? A statement is an action. An opinion is an action. So there's lots of actions you can take that are, by all reasonable standards, quite benign. Okay, voicing opinions is not a problem. Even suggesting that someday maybe we ought to vote on it isn't exactly a horrible offense.
The disabled people take more resources in society, or inherently, because if you're disabled, that means that society doesn't work for you in some way. Who is more?
Well, it's not that it doesn't work, it's that you're anti its function. You're a cog in its function, okay? You're more expensive, and there's much more, there's lives that are going to die, for lack of 10 cents. They're going to end because we couldn't come to the rescue with 35 cents of vitamins or something. So let's get real. Life is cheap as fuck. And to, disproportionately spend, millions of dollars to preserve one life while we'll squander another one for pennies just shows a kind of duplicity and hypocrisy and bigotry that's damnable. So you pointing some finger at the eugenicist when you people aren't any better.
Likely to be provided for? I guess the children of rich people. So I guess
I don't know what the fuck that is. So I hate people. I just goddamn hate this planet. What the fuck was that? He shows the damn thing for 14, less than that. 3 seconds?
Well, I guess the children of rich people.
All right. Who, incidentally, produce far more waste per person? Oh, duh. Yeah, so nobody's heard of the word high maintenance. Nobody's ever criticized the rich. I think they have. Ugh, fuck. Yes, the consumption of resources is obscene. The rich are very high maintenance. Okay, yeah, you could save a lot of lives, you could preserve lives, you could improve a lot of lives with the resources they squander.
So I guess actually we should think of childbirth as a kind of right that you don't have if you're poor or disabled.
Well, it seems kind of logical that if you don't have the ability to take care of something, you shouldn't do it. So you shouldn't have a goldfish if you can't keep its water aerated and you can't exchange it now and then and keep the fish fed. Yeah, if you can't really manage this stuff with your own resources and you have to basically go to your neighbor every day and say, can you give me some fish food? Can you give me some fish food? If you're going to be obnoxious and wasteful in the sense of your lack of productivity, like we have to have like 3 people carry you to your neighbor's house so you can knock on the door and ask for some fish food. We have to pay the 3 people $43 an hour because you fart a lot and they really don't want the job. I mean, how silly and obnoxious and nonsensical does it have to get, right? The blind man on the golf course. you know, with the four people, you know, controlling his behavior. It's just too frickin' silly.
Suddenly you go from a conversation on the nature of consent as it pertains to life and the inherent suffering of life to...
And again, if you're going to say life, then you should make it clear that you mean all sentient life, not just human lives.
Just population control? Just population control and thinking of human beings in terms of resources to be moved around based on efficiency?
I don't really understand how this TV show has anything to do with the subject or even this episode, but whatever. We'll end on that piece of crap. Oh, I hate this argument from TV show clips. I hate existence on this planet of shit brains. But anyway, it's where I'm stuck. This is the... Nobody knows how to really box. You can't have a fair, good fight. They all just throw buckets of urine and, you know, blow their nose at you. But anyway, so that's enough of a video, and we'll do one more to finish this off, blah, blah. But it's pretty, you could argue that this would be the standard intellectual mishmash pile of crap that would be said on the subject. The people can't really deal with the subject, can't really deal with the subject's about, which is, are human beings living a real life in the real world, the way it really works? Are they living a fake and phony existence where they've projected all kinds of purpose and accomplishment that doesn't really exist? And they're redundantly just torturing their children over and over and over and over again. Okay, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. I guess I could get rid of that. And I could get rid of that. And I could just say, oh, fuck. Yeah. So I guess this would be eco-fascism, you know, to point out that all we run on is so many kinds of just bigotry. And we allow that bigotry to excuse all kinds of horror and suffering for nothing, but to maintain a grisly, putrid world of ugly, trivial crap. Alright. So, till the next time and such, and so forth, and whatnot. Yeah, that's enough.